Hello, everybody. This is Ben Settle from BenSettle.com, and thank you for joining me on this call titled, 8 Selling Blunders That Kill Your Sales, Your Profits, and Even Your Very Reputation. This teaching has been a long time coming, and we're going to cover all kinds of selling tips that can help you regardless of who you are or what you sell. In fact, the tips in this call apply as much to face-to-face sales as they do to copywriting, internet marketing, email marketing, article marketing, social media, setting up joint ventures, selling on the phone, and literally any other kind of sales activity that you engage in. Now, to get things kicked off, I want to tell you a quick story that is directly from my new book titled Cracker Jack Selling Secrets, which you can read more about at www.crackerjackselling.com. Now, this story, I believe, perfectly illustrates why so much sales and marketing instruction is at best weak and at worst misleading or even dangerous. In fact, during this call, I'm going to ask you to temporarily forget everything you've heard about selling and sales, about using some of those magical sales closes all the experts and people on the internet love to teach, or even thinking you have to manipulate, trick, or beg people to buy. You don't have to do any of that. In fact, when you do things the way that you're going to learn in this call, you not only sell 100% ethically, but sales gets very, very easy. And again, I'm going to repeat this probably several times throughout this call. This applies to any kind of selling. I don't care if you're trying to close a deal on the phone. I don't care if you're writing an ad or selling someone on joint venturing with you, or even if you're in someone's living room trying to sell them a water filter. This stuff works for internet marketers as easily as it does for if you're selling on eBay or selling copywriting services or doing pay-per-click, blogging, emailing, Web 2.0/social media, telemarketing, etc. Selling is selling is selling. The mechanisms are different, but it's all basically the same at the end of the day. Okay, here's the story that I want to use to illustrate my point. One of my all-time favorite movies is Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. I especially like the Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi duel. Now, this is the part of the movie where they're on a small, the two characters are on a small floating platform on a river of molten metal. And they're basically fiercely trying to kill each other with their lightsabers. If you've seen the Star Wars movies, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, that's fine. Just bear with me here for a second. The point will be made clear either way. Now, seeing a way to escape during this ruthless fight they were having, Obi-Wan Kenobi suddenly kind of jumps off the floating platform onto the bank of the molten lava river, and basically leaving Anakin on that floating platform by himself. And at that point, Obi-Wan warns him. He goes, "It's over, Anakin. I've got the high ground." Now, Anakin, who's arrogant, he's power drunk, and thinking he's invulnerable due to his sudden power surge from the dark side of the Force, he jumps anyway. And even though Obi-Wan Kenobi is a less skilled fighter and swordsman, because he had the high ground, he was able to easily, with literally one movement, cut off both of Anakin's legs and his arm, rendering him broken and pretty much utterly defeated. Well, guess what? This is a perfect example of what happens in sales, too, when you have the high ground. And when you take the high ground in business by being the most ethical, honest, and straight-as-an-arrow service provider, you don't need to be the studliest salesman or the savviest saleswoman. You don't need to have the most resources and financial backing, and you can win in business and sales and marketing even when you're competing against more skilled sales, marketing, copywriting, etc. pros. Again, I call this kind of selling where you take the high ground and use ethics, integrity, and, as you're going to learn, some proven human psychological laws instead of tricks or brute strength. I call it crackerjack selling. And, by the way, the textbook definition of crackerjack means to be exceptionally good at something. And that is what my Crackerjack Selling Secrets book at crackerjackselling.com and the following sales tips I'm going to show you in this call are all about. Being exceptionally good at selling, regardless of your skills or your lack of skills now. And you can do it not by focusing on the latest tips and tricks, but instead taking the high ground by using simple strategies that are in perfect harmony with what people want and how they make decisions. And again, just so there's no mistake, the secrets you're about to learn in this call can be applied to any kind of selling. If you sell, market, or advertise in any way, shape, or form, then this lesson will, if you apply it, give you an enormous advantage over just about everyone you compete against. You won't have to rely on selling, you know, what I call chokeholds or fancy schmancy clothes. You won't have to worry about being rejected, and in almost every case, you will close far more sales with a lot less effort every time. Now, you may be asking, Ben, how can you possibly be so sure about that? And my answer is, because these are selling strategies, and they're not necessarily tactics. They're not based on persistence or having a thick skin or knowing 100 ways to magically close a sale. Instead, they are based on sound, principled thought and the laws of human behavior, not on manipulation or black hat tactics or any of that nonsense. Okay, now we're going to cover the 8 biggest sales blunders that can ruin your profits and, as I mentioned earlier, even ruin your credibility and reputation. And if you simply make sure you are not doing these 8 things, I sincerely believe that you will automatically make more sales, profits, and money, probably even within the next 30 days or less. Let's start with the first mistake, and that is not having any positioning or at least not even starting to position yourself in your market. Now, this is a big mistake because, as you're going to see, positioning can literally make selling a breeze for you. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but a lot of times in grocery stores, a lot of high-selling products are rarely ever the best tasting, the best quality, or even the best price. And as an example, let's take cereal. You know, there are certain brands of cereal that sell like hotcakes. Even though they taste horrible, and even though they may be devoid of nutrition and are, in many cases, twice as expensive as their competitors. And the question is, how do they do it? Well, their secret is simply positioning. Smart food manufacturers fight tooth and nail to have their stuff at eye level on the shelf. Reason why is because it almost guarantees their product gets seen, noticed, and bought before other products. Even if their competition offers a better product at a better price. And guess what? You can use this exact same principle to make selling a lot easier on yourself. In fact, positioning is the key to easy sales. It literally controls what people think about you, it controls how people feel about you, and in a lot of cases, it'll control what other people say about you. All of which is why the better your positioning is, the easier selling is. And if you simply position yourself as an authority in your industry or niche, you will be in what's called the catbird seat. And this basically means a position to which a ton of new business and money just flow naturally. Some examples of people that I would observe are in the catbird seat would be somebody like Perry Marshall in the Google AdWords niche, or Zig Ziglar in the sales niche, or Jay Abraham in the direct marketing niche. If you think of the first thing you think of when you hear online booksellers, most likely Amazon.com. Or take search engines. I mean, nobody says go to the search engines, they just say Google it, because Google has that top of mind status. Another one that's at top of mind status would be Kleenex in the tissue business. I mean, a lot of people literally say, give me a Kleenex instead of, you know, I want a tissue. It's just so ingrained in our minds. And the list goes on. These people and businesses have literally top-of-mind status in their respective industries. And because of that, it does not matter if they bungle a phone call, or if they butcher their spelling in an ad, or if they're even the best in their category, because their position is number one. People want to buy from them, and only them in a lot of cases, just because of where they're positioned. In my own copywriting business, I've seen this over and over. I mean, I've spent a lot of time positioning myself in my niche. And as a result, I rarely ever have to sell anyone on hiring me. Usually, clients are selling themselves to me on me taking them as a client. And, you know, this is not because I'm any genius or anything like that. It's just the way I position myself. So mistake number one is simply not taking a position or not even starting to get a position. This is something you can do right away. And I suggest you do it as fast as possible, no matter what you sell, or, again, who you sell to. There's always an open position in your market. Find it, fill it, and you'll find that selling gets way easier. Now, let's go on to sales blunder number two. But before I tell you what it is, I want you to know that it's kind of a sort of touchy-feely secret. But don't let that diminish its importance, because as you're going to see, it's also extremely important, especially in today's ever more skeptical marketplace. Anyway, this sales blunder is simply not caring. And I mean really caring, like a friend or loved one, about your prospects. Again, I know that sounds kind of weak or lame and, you know, maybe even dorky. Trust me, it's not. In fact, if you ignore this care factor, as I call it, your sales will be far short of what they could and should be. Now, just to be clear here, I'm not saying you don't care about the people you sell to. In fact, I assume you do care about them and deeply. But I'd like to suggest a unique way of looking at your prospects that you may not have considered before. You see, I don't necessarily subscribe to this, quote, herd mentality that's been popularized on the Internet. This is basically when you see your list as a herd of cattle that you've roped and bound in one place, i.e. your list, and ready to give you money on command when called, which is basically when you send them offers. You know, this is a widely taught thing. I just don't buy into it. Instead, I look at my prospects much differently than that. I don't see a bunch of names and email addresses, like, you know, cows or a herd of anything. I see people, real flesh and blood people with real problems, real goals, real hopes, and real desires, just like I do and just like you do. People who maybe spend Sunday nights dreading the coming week or lay awake at night plagued with insomnia and stress and are near paralyzed with fear, pain, and insecurities. And before I even think of selling someone something, I always picture communicating not to a list or a stranger if I'm talking to one person, but to someone I love or care about. You know, again, I know that that maybe sounds a little hokey, but this small mindset shift changes the entire complexion of the sale. Instead of thinking only about how to overpower people with big promises and sales chokeholds, you know, this is a case where you would think about the urgent problems they have and how to help them eliminate those problems. And from here on out, I urge you to do the same thing. If you sell, for example, a product on, let's say, curing arthritis, picture your own mother suffering from that disease. What if she could barely sew or cook or do the things she loves in her retirement years because of the crippling pain in her hands? What would you tell her? What would you say to her? What product would you tell her about? You know, asking these questions automatically shifts your thinking from product-oriented, which always comes off as self-serving, to problem-oriented, which is always customer-serving. And it changes the way you interact with your customers. It changes the products that you choose to sell to them. And most important of all, it changes the way people respond to you and how much they'll buy from you. Okay, enough said about that. Let's move on to sales blunder number 3, and that is not establishing credibility. Now, I got my start in business, like a lot of people, in network marketing, or MLM. And as much as I hated doing MLM, I mean, it's literally just not my cup of tea. I have absolutely nothing against the industry, but it's just not for me. It gave me one of the best sales educations I could ever ask for. Take, for example, when I was just starting out as a distributor for an MLM company selling health and wellness products. I was on fire. I mean, I would go to all the symposiums and rallies and events and seminars and all the meetings, the hotel meetings and all that. I would read everything the product creators wrote, and I'd memorize literally the studies and the benefits of the products. And I would even travel hundreds of miles just to see these people speak or to get their autograph or to meet them or shake their hand. Yet when I got home and I would start telling people about how our supplements were better than any prescription drugs they were taking, or you know, why their doctors, you know, were flat out wrong about how to deal with the certain problems they had or what people needed to get in better health, I mean, I was met with just blank stares. And often I was ignored, and sometimes I was even scoffed and laughed at. Question is why? Well, at the time, I couldn't figure it out. I was just blinded by the product details and was drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak, served up by the presenters. But a few years later, it dawned on me. I was a layman trying to contradict already established beliefs that were backed up by professional doctors and healthcare authority figures. And when I figured this out, it was like, duh. You know, I mean, it's like it should have been obvious, but it wasn't. When you're caught up in the product and you start not thinking about the market, this is exactly what happens. But this happens in sales and marketing all the time. You can have the most fascinating product in the world, but unless it's knighted by a doctor or a lawyer or a military general or whatever authority people trust in your particular niche, nobody will believe you. Which is why, if you want to increase your sales, simply back up your claims. Especially if they're big claims and very hard to believe claims, back them up with big authority. In other words, if you sell homeopathic remedies, get a doctor's endorsement. If you sell a new kind of tractor, get the endorsement of a major farm organization. If you sell a book on how to lose weight by eating more fatty foods, for example, you know, make sure you get the blessing of a well-respected fitness trainer or somebody in that industry to back you up. As the great marketer and sales genius Gary Bensavenga says, nobody buys without belief. And this is especially true when it comes to going against the dogma of your market. Okay, now moving on to the fourth big sales blunder that people make, that is being boring. Look, I'm about to say something that you may not agree with. You may not like hearing this, but it's the truth, And while it may not apply to everyone you sell to, you will never go wrong by doing what I am about to suggest, no matter what the situation. Now, I don't know about you, but my attention span is almost non-existent. I don't say that with pride, and I don't say that to brag by any means. But like all Gen Xers, I was raised on MTV and action movies. And these days, I have a hard time sitting still for even a few seconds. I mean, I can't even finish a movie in one sitting anymore unless there's hobbits or superheroes or lightsaber fights in it. I mean, my mind just starts wandering to and fro really fast. And it takes an enormous amount of effort for me to focus on anything that I'm not 100% fascinated, interested, or entertained by. And guess what? What I just described does not just apply to guys like me. It's how a huge portion of the population now behaves, including people who you sell to, especially if you're selling on the Internet. And it can pay you big time to assume the people that you're selling to have attention spans as flaky as mine. In fact, I want you to try this. Next time you sell someone something, and I don't care what the medium is, I don't care if it's online, offline, on the phone, whatever, assume that the person or people that you're selling to are like ADD-riddled teenagers looking for any excuse to bail on you, to sort of escape back to the attention-gobbling vortex of, you know, TV or golf or sports or baseball, or, you know, if you sell on the Internet, you're competing with sites like Twitter and Facebook and instant messages and Skype and YouTube videos and, you know, emails popping up every 5 seconds and all the other cool online devices that now pander to our gnat-like attention spans. Anyway, here's my point. Paranoia is your friend when you're selling. Assuming people are looking for a good reason to escape listening to you is now mandatory because, frankly, most people are. So make sure you are constantly engaging people with information and ideas they simply must keep listening to. Otherwise, a good portion of people will tune you out. And once they've tuned you out, you've literally lost the sale. Okay, let's move on to sales blunder number 5, and that is being needy. Like it or not, think it fair or not, being needy will destroy your sales in a heartbeat. Again, I don't care if you sell online, offline, or on the sidelines. It doesn't matter. People sense when you need them. They sense when you need their money or their time or their vote or their affection. And the more you need something, the more that something is going to elude you. But here's the good news. At the same time, people are almost irresistibly attracted to people who don't need them. To give you a perfect example of this, I want to use the popular sitcom Seinfeld. If you've never seen Seinfeld, it was a very popular show back in the 1990s, and it's in reruns all the time now. Anyway, in one episode, George Costanza, who's one of the main characters, is complaining to his friend Jerry, the other main character, about how just once in a relationship, he wishes he could be the person who isn't the needy one, and instead be the one with the upper hand. As George put it, I have no hand. So, in one of his more clever schemes, George, who's afraid of losing his girlfriend at the time, pulls a complete 180 on her and tells her he has decided to break up with her. A sort of preemptive breakup, as they described it on the show. The result? Instead of telling George to hit the road, his girlfriend emotionally and physically sticks to him like white on rice, even though she was about to dump him before that. She didn't actually say she was going to dump him, but it was pretty much implied on the show. Now, that's just the sitcom, obviously, but that's exactly how it works in real life, too. If you need someone to buy from you, they'll smell it on you. They'll also emotionally and physically back off from you to escape. It's just natural. They will do whatever it takes to get away from you. Like, for example, they might lie and tell you they want to think about it, or say they need to talk with someone else, or just something to get out of that situation, some way to make you think that maybe they're interested, but they're really not. And the reality is, the reason they don't have no desire to buy from you is because you need them, and they know it. And because of that, they want nothing to do with you. Again, this is perfectly natural. It doesn't make anyone bad or anything like that because of that. You and I are both the same way. So the message is clear. Don't be needy. It drives people away from you instead of attracting them towards you, which is why the less you need, the more sales you will make. Let's move on to sales mistake number 6. And this is using tricks and tactics instead of leveraging the natural laws of human behavior. Now, this one really can save you a lot of heartache and pain. In my humble opinion, using many selling tricks like, for example, giving people loaded options or using these weird manipulation tactics or trying to bully or trick people into buying with weird pricing schemes and fake scarcity and all that, it's extremely bad advice. And I don't care who's giving it, and I don't care how big the name is of the person telling you to do this. In my opinion, it's bad advice. At least it is in the long term. Now, why do I say this? Because while these methods are great for getting one-time buyers, they absolutely suck for building long-term customers. In fact, not long ago, I heard a guy talking about how a friend of his was given a choice to buy something that it went something like this. You know, you can have this for 30 cents each or three for a dollar. Now, like most people, his friend grabbed the three for a dollar option without even thinking about it. And this guy, by the way, who told me the story, he's in sales. And he thinks this was a great way to sell since the salesperson wasn't lying. He was just sort of playing into the customer's lack of thinking, or maybe a better explanation would be the lack of awareness of the situation. And hey, it worked, right? I mean, his friend bought, and so the store was 10 cents richer and probably made a lot more than that when you multiplied this by the thousands of customers who fell for the same routine each year. But, in my opinion, this is not only a terrible way to run a business, but it literally robs stores like that of sales. And the reason I say that is because, and this is the case with a lot of people, later on, his buddy sort of realized he'd been had. Now, 10 cents isn't going to break anyone. But what this did was make his friend kind of mad when he thought about it. And that means all the customers who felt the same way, while they did make a one-time purchase, will probably never go back to that store again. And that is where the real money is in sales, and especially in marketing. It's not on that upfront sale. It's on either the back-end sales or the referral sales and that sort of thing. One sale can often turn into multiple sales if you're doing it right, which means they will, and all this means basically is that all the people who fell for that scheme and realized it later will never spend money at that store again. And it also means that, in fact, they will probably tell other people not to go there too either, potentially taking away future sales, maybe even a lot of future sales from other potential customers. Selling is not about the one-time sale. Oftentimes, there's other things you can sell to your customers besides the first product. This is especially true in direct marketing. But even if you're not back-end selling something, you got to think about things like referrals and word of mouth and all that. And this is why smart selling is not about tricks, tactics, and gimmicks. It's about serving your customer. It's about finding out what they want and need and then offering it to them in a way that gives them a good, warm, positive experience that makes them eagerly want to come back again and enthusiastically tell everyone else they know about you. This way, instead of getting sales from one-time buyers, you build long-term loyal customers. And buyers are people who may or may not come back again. They'll buy one time, but they may not buy a second or third time. Customers, on the other hand, are people who literally make it a custom to come back to you and spend money. Customers also make it a custom to tell their friends and family about you. And if you do it right, customers will even make it a custom to be your best salespeople without asking you for a dime in commission. And that is huge. And that is something you will never get if you trick people. So the bottom line with this sixth sales tip is ditch the dorky black hat tricks and manipulative closes. You don't need them. Because even if it does work, you could be cutting off your nose to spite your face. Okay, on to sales blunder number 7, bragging. Now listen, this may sound a little geeky, but one of my favorite ways to unwind is watching old cartoons on YouTube. And a while back I wrote on my blog at bensettle.com about how I came across one of my childhood favorites, Commander McBrack. I get such a kick out of this cartoon, I swear. His show starts with an image of a revolving globe and the title, The World of Commander McBrack. And each time the commander is sort of hanging out in his gentleman's club with a friend who always is trying to make his escape because, again, people don't like it when they feel like they're being pitched. And the commander points to a country on the globe with his pipe and says something like, you know, there, Australia, did I ever tell you about the time I blah, 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 blah? And then he tells some cockamamie story about busting the Chicago Mafia or becoming the all-time rodeo champion or bringing down 5 enemy planes single-handed in World War II, etc. Now, here's the thing. You can learn a lot about storytelling, which is great for selling, from the good commander. But at the same time, he's also an example of how not to sell. Because all he does is basically brag, 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 brag. And a lot of salespeople do this too, and a lot of marketers especially do this. And in our world, it just comes off as me, 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 me. I'm the best. Look at all this stuff I have. And I'm like a little money-making god. If you're in the biz op niche, you'll see that a lot, that sort of attitude. And while I will not say that this never works, because sometimes it does to certain markets and certain customers, but I learned this the hard way a few years ago when one of the world's highest-paid copywriters gave me an ad critique. And remember, when I use the term copywriting, that's basically selling in print. It's selling like anything else. So this applies to any other kind of selling, too. I'm just using copywriting as an example. Anyway, the ad was written in the product creator's voice and started out talking about all the money he had, his boats, his cars, all the golf he plays, all of his free time, and this and that and the other. And the copywriter who read my ad, he reads it, and he just throws it back to me. He says, "Ben, you make this guy sound like an asshole. Imagine if you were talking like this to someone in person. You'd get laughed at or ignored or, you know, probably thrown out of someone's house. You need to rewrite this." And those are pretty much his exact words. And he was right, too. I was basically like copywriter McBrad, pointing at a photo of all my clients' cars and toys and money and saying, you know, "There, did I ever tell you about all the money I make and all the boats and cars I own and the big house I live in?" I mean, it's just dumb. Anyway, since then, I now do regular what I call brag checks whenever I'm selling anything, whether it's in an ad or on the phone or in person or you know, in social media, no matter what. What I do is I basically ask, and I suggest you do the same thing. Am I talking about solving someone's problem? Am I customer-oriented? Or am I just yammering on about how wonderful I am or how wonderful my product is, which, again, would be me-oriented? And you might be surprised how much difference this makes. Now, for the eighth and final sales blunder that we're going to talk about, this one is so simple that you may be tempted to pass it off and say, "Okay, Ben, yeah, that's nice. I got it, man. Thanks." But, you know, don't do that. I mean, just for your own sake, hear this out, because it's very important. Because it is by far the worst offender of all the sales blunders that I've ever seen. And if you get right what I'm about to say, you can make a lot of sales even if you do everything else we talked about tonight wrong. Anyway, this eighth blunder is simply not finding out what people really want before trying to sell them something. Now, this is not only the number one most important sales strategy you can ever use, but at its heart, it's basically the essence of all persuasion. And those who apply what I'm about to reveal here often find selling to be extremely easy and, in a way, routine. I mean, something that just comes naturally and quickly no matter what the product is or who the customer is. I have given my own little name for this phenomenon. I did not invent this by any means, but I call it the dog cookie secret. And probably the best demonstration I've ever seen of this was from a guy named Doug Deanna. Now, Doug is a world-class direct mail copywriter, which means he's, again, a salesman in print. He gets paid big bucks to persuade complete strangers to buy products and services they didn't even know existed 5 minutes earlier via an ad or an email. In some ways, this is the hardest kind of selling there is. Anyway, I once had a conversation with him about his selling methods, and to sort of illustrate how sales really works, he asked me if I had a dog. And I said, "Yeah, I have a dog." And he goes, "Does your dog listen to you every time you call her? Does she come to you every single time?" And I thought about it for a second, and I said, "No. I mean, really, she's a pretty stubborn dog, and you know, she might come, she might not, I mean, but certainly not every time." And he said, "You know what, Ben, I bet I can get her to come flying over to me, even though she doesn't know me and has no idea who I am." And I said, "Well, you know, how are you going to do that?" He says, "What I would do is I would walk into your house, and I would simply hold up her favorite dog cookie, and she'll come flying over to me. Am I right?" And I had to admit, he sure was. You see, while I can spend hours trying to manipulate and coax my dog to come to me by using all the popular dog training tricks and tactics from all the popular dog training books and TV shows, all I really have to do is hold up her favorite dog cookie and booyah. She'll be right over by my side. I do it all the time. Now, there's a guy named Bernard Brook. He was an advisor to presidents, and he was called the most persuasive man of the 20th century. And he described this phenomenon like this: find out what people want, then show them how to get it. And you know what? You can spend a fortune on sales books and training and never see this simple fact brought so boldly and beautifully forth. Anyway, that's it for now. Those are the eight biggest selling blunders that rob you of sales, profits, money, and, as you've seen, your very reputation if you're relying on tricks and tactics. Now, the tips you just heard apply to any kind of selling. I want to stress that again. Whether you're selling eyeball to eyeball with your prospect, or if you're writing an ad, or if you're trying to get someone to, you know, partner with you or joint venture with you, if you're trying to get more followers and friends in social media sites like Twitter and Facebook, or if you're closing a new client on the phone or selling something high ticket over the phone, I mean, any kind of sale, if it's blogging and pay-per-click, it really doesn't matter. You can actually apply much of this, if not all of them, to just about any kind of selling situation. And remember, you can learn over 101 ways to easily and ethically sell just like this in my book, Cracker Jack Selling Secrets, which you can get at crackerjackselling.com. And this book distills everything you need to know about how to sell in a quick, easy, and ethical way. Again, regardless of the media that you use, online, offline, telephone, in-person, email, blogging, social media, pay-per-click, copywriting, articles, and everything else. I mean, it basically, you can apply all these things to any of these different medias. So I would urge you to go check that out if you want more information on what you've learned here tonight. We've barely scratched the surface on what's possible, but I'm confident if you just avoided the 8 blunders that we talked about here, that you will see results in your bank account probably within 30 days. So with that said, good night, and thank you for having me.